let's talk about welcome, Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul starts out, "You foolish Galatians." Talk about seeker friendly. Talk about loving and gentle. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to know just one thing from you." Can't you hear your mother's voice in that? "I would like to know just one thing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Let's talk for a few minutes about welcome, Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. I thank you for the people that you love so much. I thank you for your presence here that we can already sense among us. And I pray that we would encounter you in the ministry of your word and that we would experience the beautiful Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. If your heart agrees, just say amen and amen. There are three things that I pray every day over my life, that I pray over my family, and that I pray over Harvest Time Church. We have a membership class at 5 o'clock tonight. If you want to become a member, come and join us. You can sign up on the Welcome Center. We'll have a little dinner, and then I'll share with you a little bit about our church. And I'm going to talk about this in more detail, but there are three things that I pray every day over our church. First, I pray that God would make us people of divine purpose. This comes from Moses' prayer in the wilderness of intercession in Exodus 33, that God would make us people of divine purpose. God, consider this as your people. The second thing I pray is that God would make us people of divine strategies. God, teach us your ways. The third thing I pray is that God would make us people of ever-increasing divine presence. In that prayer of intercession in the wilderness, Moses said to the Lord, "God, if your presence doesn't go with us, then we're not going to take one step further. Don't ask us to go one more step unless you come with us. What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the earth?" God agreed to Moses' prayer, and then Moses prayed one more thing. He said, "Now, God, show me your glory." There are two truths about God's presence that I find in Moses' prayer. First, God's presence with us is the distinguishing mark that we belong to Him. It's how we know that we're His. It's how the world knows that we are His presence with us. The second thing is that God's presence is an inexhaustible experience. No matter how much of God's presence you may have experienced in the past, there is always more of Him to experience. You know, I find those same two truths in Galatians chapter 3. Right now we're reading Paul's letter to the believers in the region of Galatia, what is now modern day Turkey. This is a letter from heaven. It's a letter that was inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak across the distance, across the ages to you and to me. And we've come to the section of the letter where Paul is talking about spiritual experiences that come not by our religious efforts, but come by faith. Beloved, faith is the doorway to God. Faith is the doorway to salvation. It's the means by which we lay hold of saving grace. Faith is the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. It's the doorway to all the riches of God in Jesus. It's the doorway to eternal life. When we have that moment of being convinced deep inside about Jesus, when we have that moment of surrendering our will to Jesus, a whole new world of spiritual experiences opens up to us. One experience that comes by faith is union with Christ. We talked about it last week. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Another experience that comes by faith is with the Holy Spirit. Looking at Paul's words in Galatians 3, I actually see two experiences of the Holy Spirit that come by faith, and I want to share them with you briefly this morning. Two experiences with the Holy Spirit that come by faith. First, this: when you believe on Jesus, you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. When you believe on Jesus, you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Galatian believers had veered off course. Some false teachers had persuaded them that in order to go up to the next level with God, they had to earn his approval by keeping the Jewish law. You know, we fall into that same trap too, thinking that we have to earn God's love, that we have to earn his favor, that we have to earn his approval by keeping all the rules of Christendom. So Paul reminds the Galatians, and he reminds us, of the experience of the Holy Spirit that came by faith. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? No, you received the Holy Spirit that moment you had faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. Did you know that God has a book in heaven? It's not Facebook. It's the Lamb's book. And written in it are the names of everyone whose status has been changed by faith. You see, there's a moment of believing. There's a moment of being deeply convinced about Jesus. There's a moment of surrendering your will during which a bond, a relationship is initiated between you and Jesus Christ. Your status is changed in the Lamb's book from single sinner to in a relationship with Jesus Christ. When heaven sees that, it lights up. The angels light up. You know, Kim and Kanye, they think that they've got it going on. But I want to tell you, when your status changed in the Lamb's book, you got 10,000 times 10,000 likes in heaven. God doesn't tweet. But he does dispatch the dove of heaven, the Holy Spirit, to come reside inside of you. This is the doctrine of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that the living presence of God has come to reside within the temple of your physical body. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? There are too many things to talk about in one sermon, even for me, but I want to give you a couple of quick highlights. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? Number one, the indwelling Holy Spirit brings the living presence of God into your physical body. God promised the indwelling Holy Spirit through the prophet Ezekiel. He said, I will sprinkle you with clean water. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and idols. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Listen, I will put my spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Jesus promised the indwelling Holy Spirit in the upper room. He said, I will ask my Father, and he will send you another comforter to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, he lives with you and he will be in you. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he breathed on the disciples, and they received the indwelling Holy Spirit. In Paul's letters to the believers in Corinth and in Rome, he said, our bodies are temples, and the Holy Spirit dwells in them. He said to Timothy, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. A little further down in the letter of Galatians, he says, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. John said, this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Holy Spirit that he gives us. I remember vividly the night that God's living presence came to me as an 8-year-old boy. I prayed a prayer of faith on my bed, and I didn't shake, I didn't shudder, I didn't sputter. I simply knew that God was with me now, and I want to tell you, he has never left me since. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? Second, the indwelling Holy Spirit makes Jesus' presence with you just as real as if you could see or hear or touch Jesus. You know, I've often wondered what it was like to be alive when Jesus was ministering on earth. I feel jealous when I read John, and John says, we touched him with our hands, we saw him with our eyes, we heard him with our own ears. I say, oh Lord, it would be so much easier to follow you if I could have had that experience too. But you know, Jesus said there's something even better than to experience walking with him on earth during his earthly ministry, and that is to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You know, even better than to hear Jesus' voice with your physical ears is to hear him inside your spirit. Even better than to listen to Jesus teach is to have his words written on your heart by the Holy Spirit. Even better than to see him with your eyes is to see through his eyes. Even better than to have an encouraging pat on the shoulder from Jesus is to have his strengthening in my innermost being by the Holy Spirit that is inside of me. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? Number three, the indwelling Holy Spirit creates an inner assurance that you belong to God. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is God's seal of ownership on your heart. The Holy Spirit pours God's love into your heart so that you're convinced that God loves you. The Holy Spirit convinces you that God has accepted you. The Holy Spirit convinces you that God delights in you. The Holy Spirit convinces you that God has good intentions toward you, goodwill toward you. Paul calls him the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship. He assures you that there is a family bond, a family connection between you and God. You know, I want to tell you, I love my kids with my whole heart. I love my kids even when I'm not particularly happy with their behavior. I still love them. I love them so much that I miss them when they're not under my roof. I miss my kids during the week when they have to go to school during the day. I miss them that they're gone. I want the very best for my kids always. I intend to give my kids the best that I can, and I will mess up anybody who tries to mess with my kids. Now, I know I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to say that, but I'll mess you up first, and then I'll pray that God will forgive me. Do you know what? That's how God feels about you. And the Holy Spirit convinces you that that's true. Paul says that this love that's administered by the Holy Spirit makes you strong inside, makes you secure, makes you firmly planted in your Christian faith, makes you locked in your relationship with Jesus. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? Number four, the indwelling Holy Spirit exerts godly influence over your thinking, over your emotions, over your decisions, over your fleshly appetites. The Holy Spirit inside of you ministers to your whole person. He ministers to your spirit, he ministers to your mind, he ministers to your emotions, he ministers to your will, even to your physical body. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, reminding us of everything that Jesus said. You know, reminding doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit helps us to mentally recount every word, every line that Jesus said, but it's supernatural help inside of us to instinctively apply the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives on-the-spot wisdom and on-the-spot inclination to act in a matter that's consistent with the teaching of Jesus. So that in every crisis, I know what would Jesus do. In every conflict, I know what would Jesus do. When I'm at home, I know what Jesus would do. When I'm at work, I know what Jesus would do. When I'm on Facebook, I know what Jesus would do. Don't do it. Jesus also promised that the Holy Spirit will be our comforter. You know, that means strengthener. And he is the administrator of Jesus' own peace. Jesus, in talking about the Holy Spirit, said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave you. That word peace is shalom. It means the wholeness that comes from walking in relationship with God. It means nothing is missing and nothing is broken. What Jesus has bequeathed to you is his own shalom, his own wholeness of personhood, the inner security of Jesus, the personal confidence of Jesus, the mental stability of Jesus, the emotional health of Jesus. That's perfect masculinity for men and perfect femininity for women, the sound judgment of Jesus, the relational health of Jesus. It has been bequeathed to me and it is administered to me by the Holy Spirit. That's good preaching right there. The Holy Spirit strengthens your will so that you can say no to the bad things and yes to the good things. Beloved, listen, the message of the cross is not express yourself. You were born with a sinful nature. God doesn't invite you to express that. The message of the cross is deny yourself and follow Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. What does the indwelling Holy Spirit do? There's lots more to say. I'll give you one more. The indwelling Spirit creates a joyful expectation of things to come. Paul said the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. One meaning of that word deposit is a down payment, but I like the other meaning better, which is an engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is my engagement ring from Jesus, promising me that there is a wonderful inheritance waiting for me in heaven. The Holy Spirit creates anticipation in your heart for heaven. He gives you a heavenly mindset so that your affections are not set on earthly things, but are set on eternal things. The Holy Spirit also gives you a taste of heaven now. The supernatural experiences that you have in him are just a taste of what is waiting for you on the other side of this life. The Holy Spirit fills your heart with hope, Paul says, and with joy and with peace. Two experiences of the Spirit that come by faith. When you believe on Jesus, you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the second experience is this. To live for Jesus, God wants to give you the overflowing Spirit with miracles. I want you to notice something with me. In Galatians 3:2, Paul describes one way to experience the Spirit. That's to receive him at the moment of salvation. That verb tense for received, you received the Spirit, means a definitive moment in the past that has a lasting effect. The indwelling Holy Spirit came to you at a particular moment when you believed and surrendered to Jesus. The indwelling Spirit came to you. You received him. It was a done deal, and the effect of that goes on in your life. But in Galatians 3:5, Paul describes another way to experience the Spirit, and that is the overflowing Spirit. He says in Galatians 3:5, God gives you his Holy Spirit and works miracles among you, not because you observe the law, but because you believe. Four things, four observations very quickly about the overflowing Spirit, and then we're going to spend some time actually welcoming the Holy Spirit. Four observations very quickly. Number one, the overflowing Spirit is a gift for every believer. You know, sometimes our English Bibles don't do justice to the original words of Scripture. In Galatians 3:5, it says very flatly in our English Bible, God gives the Holy Spirit. But in Greek, that word gives is a very colorful word that comes from theater production. It means God orchestrates an abundant supply. He plans and he delivers an abundant supply. He lavishly provides. He thoroughly furnishes. Paul uses this word in three other places to describe the supply of the Spirit, and Peter uses it once. Paul's meaning is that God pours out the Spirit. God fills to overflowing with the Spirit. God deluges. God drenches. God baptizes with the Holy Spirit. One thing we learn from these verses is that every New Testament church was Pentecostal. The experience of the overflowing Spirit was the norm. It was an anticipated experience for every believer, and it was an anticipated experience for every gathering of the believers that the overflowing Holy Spirit would be there. For observation, second, the overflowing Spirit is given continuously by God. It says in chapter 3, verse 2, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's a past tense. It's a done deal. But in 3:5, it says God gives the Holy Spirit. That is a permanently continuous tense. It means God gives and 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 God gives the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be being continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Four observations about the overflowing Spirit. Third, the overflowing Spirit comes with miraculous manifestations. Paul says God continuously lavishes the Spirit and he continuously works miracles among you. What kind of miraculous manifestations is Paul talking about? We know from Acts, we know from his other letters, he's talking about tongues. He's talking about a heavenly language that God gives us for worship and for prayer, a heavenly language that God uses to speak through us. He's talking about interpretation of tongues. He's talking about prophecies. He's talking about words of knowledge and words of wisdom. He's talking about healing miracles. He's talking about God-given faith that moves mountains. We need a little faith right now for phase two. He's talking about power encounter with demonic spirits. Beloved, listen to me. Our culture is sinking. It is sinking into demonic muck. But there is power inside of us in the Holy Spirit to deliver people and to set them free. For observations about the overflowing Holy Spirit, finally this. This is a good one. Maybe this is my favorite. The overflowing Spirit is not given because you are good, but because he is good. Paul says, did God lavish the continuous supply of the Spirit and work miracles because you observed the law? He says, no, God does it because you believe. Jesus called this overflowing Spirit the gift of the Father. He said, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, imperfect as you are, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, when my kids' birthdays come around, I don't give them gifts because they've earned them. I don't give them gifts because they've been perfectly good and they've done everything I asked them to do. I don't give them gifts because they remembered to thank me every day for putting a roof over their head and food on the table and clothes on their back. I don't give them gifts for any of those reasons. I give them gifts only because I love them and I want to express that to them. I give them gifts because it delights me to delight the heart of my children. And Jesus said that that's why the Father gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he loves us. Two experiences of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit and the overflowing Spirit. This was the experience of the apostles. The resurrected Christ breathed on them and they received the indwelling Holy Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, they experienced the overflowing Holy Spirit with miracles. This was the experience of the new believers in Samaria. They responded to Philip's preaching. They received the indwelling Holy Spirit with a manifestation of great joy. But when the apostles came down from Jerusalem and laid hands upon them, they experienced the overflowing Holy Spirit with miracles. This was the experience of the Apostle Paul. God knocked Saul off of his high horse on the Damascus road, and Paul received the indwelling Holy Spirit. But when Ananias came and laid hands upon Paul, Paul received the overflowing Holy Spirit with miracles.
This was the experience of the first Gentile believers at Cornelius' house. While Paul was preaching, their hearts opened and responded to the gospel, and they received the indwelling Holy Spirit, and they also immediately experienced the overflowing Holy Spirit with miraculous manifestations. This was the experience of the believers that Paul found at Ephesus. They had long ago believed on Christ and received the indwelling Holy Spirit, but when Paul laid his hands on them, they experienced the overflowing Holy Spirit with miraculous signs. This is good preaching right here. I'm just preaching myself happy. I just preach myself right over the edge. This is my experience as a boy. One night I prayed a prayer of faith on my bed, and I received the indwelling Holy Spirit. Nothing else happened except I knew that God was with me. But another night I was worshiping God on my bed, and the beautiful presence of God came into my room, and it sat down on me while I was laying there. It felt like a heavy weight pushing down on me. But it wasn't uncomfortable. It wasn't frightful. And I was a really fearful little kid. But I was so beautiful and so glorious that I didn't want to move, because I was afraid if I moved, it would leave me, and I didn't want it to go. And I began worshiping God in a new language, a heavenly tongue I had never learned. I experienced in that moment the overflowing Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't even know what tongues were. I didn't even know what was going on. All I knew, it was from God. And the next morning, I had to get my mom to explain to me what happened to me. And just like Paul said, God has given and given and given the overflowing Holy Spirit to me again and again and again. On Mother's Day 2012, I experienced that same weight of God's presence. Hadn't experienced it in the same way since I was an 8-year-old boy, but I experienced it again, even more intense this time, and I've experienced it a few times since. Two experiences of the Holy Spirit: the indwelling Holy Spirit and the overflowing Holy Spirit. As the Lord would have it, we just happened to come to this passage of Scripture on Pentecost Sunday. You know, I have to tell you the truth. I did not plan it that way. I'm not that good. It just happened that we came right here on Pentecost Sunday, and I'm so glad it worked out that way. Because there couldn't be a better day to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit and to experience the overflowing Holy Spirit. So what I've done is I've left as much time as I could. We'll leave a little more time in the next service. I left as much time as I could, because today I don't want to just talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to experience the Holy Spirit, and I want you to experience Him too. Would you stand on your feet with me this morning? We're going to sing that song one more time. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And I just want you to open your heart. You know what? Let me tell you this. God only gives good gifts. So some of you, because of the theology that you had coming up, because of other things that believers have spoken to you, so some of you, you're not too sure. You know, I never understand that position. Well, that's good for you, but it's not for me. No, if it's good for you, it's good for me too. God only gives good gifts. And He only gives gifts in a way that's custom tailored for each one of us to receive them. So would you open your heart this morning, and would you simply say to me, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Let me become more aware of your presence. Let's experience together the beautiful overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing. Help us, Pastor Jason.
Holy Spirit, you are. Overcome by your presence, Lord.
You know what? If you want to experience the overflow of the Holy Spirit, we're going to invite you to just come out of your seats and come down to this altar. I want our pastors and our prayer teams to come quickly, if you would, please. If you want to experience the overflow of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to just come and just sing "Welcome, Holy Spirit" with us today. You know what? Even if you've already experienced the indwelling and the overflowing, you know, you need to get filled again. The apostles, they received the indwelling Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them. They experienced the overflowing Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But we read in the book of Acts that they had to get filled again and again and again and again and again. If you've never experienced the overflowing Spirit, I want you to come. If you've experienced the overflowing Spirit, but you just want to get filled up again, I want you to just come right now. Come on. Come on. We sing "Holy Spirit."
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your
Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm wondering who here, and I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but I wonder if there's anyone here at the altar and you've never experienced the overflow of the Holy Spirit for the first time in your life, with miraculous signs and wonders following, with the beautiful language of heaven for worship and prayer. And today you'd like to experience that overflow of the Spirit for the very first time. If that's you, could you just put up your hand? I want to experience the overflow of the Holy Spirit. There's some, come on, can I put up your hand high so I can see it? I want to experience the overflow. Come on, there's someone here. There's a couple here. There's a couple here. Prayer teams, come find these people if you would, please. Now listen, for everyone here, we're going to do something real easy. Experiencing the overflow of the Holy Spirit is just as easy as A, B, C. All right? A is to ask. Jesus said, if your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to ask them? And so if you want to receive that overflow of the Spirit, in just one moment together, we're going to ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit. If you're here just to get filled again, I want you to just do that with us. Ask, say, fill me again. Fill me, Father, with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is believe. Believe. Jesus said, he who believes on me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Believe the promise of Jesus. Believe that he wants to give you this good gift even more than you want to receive it. The last thing is C, confess. The Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. There's a moment of faith. There's a step of faith. After we pray and we ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit, I want you to take a step of faith and I want you to open your mouth and God is going to begin to fill it with a beautiful heavenly language. I can see already. I know already three of you who are going to receive. There's three of you already. I know you're going to get it. You're going to open your mouth and you're just going to begin speaking in a new heavenly language, a new heavenly tongue, and you're going to receive the overflowing Holy Spirit. And for all of you who've come, I want you to do the same steps, do the same thing, and God's going to just come and fill you fresh and new right now. Are you ready? Come on, let's ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? I'm going to lead everybody, pray with me. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit, overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to just believe right now in your heart that the promise of Jesus, and I want you to just open your mouth and I want you to just begin to confess, and our prayer teams are going to lay hands on you. Come on, let's receive him right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome.